Welcome to the Monday seminar, and we are very happy to have today with us the Izmir group around Tiare Feuchtner, and also Anke Reinschlüssel and Daniel Fink will present their work today. And without further ado, I hand over to Tiare. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks a lot for having us. My name is Tiare Feuchtner. I'm co-PI in the Izmir group, and I'll actually show you the remaining team in a moment. But of course, this is not all of us. I'm here today with Daniel and Anke, who are the doctoral and postdoctoral researchers on the computer science side of the project. And what we want to do is take the opportunity to show you our virtual reality experimental setup, and also the rendering pipeline that we've created for realizing heart mirrors, so basically visualizing heartbeats on virtual avatars that also are customized to the particular user. And basically, these are the types of visualizations that we are going to show you that we have realized so far, just different types of heartbeat visualizations applied to these different avatars. And to give you like the overall reason for why we're doing that, in the Izmir project, we aim to study the influence of interoceptive signaling on self, other perception, on physiological synchrony and behavior in or during interactions in mixed reality scenarios. And mixed reality spans really the entire continuum that you'll also see after. And as I mentioned, we are only the computer science side of this entire project. We have wonderful partners in the cognitive psychology group. Jens is here today, for example. And to also maybe start at the beginning, what do we mean by interoception? So interoception is the sensing and interpretation and integration of these signals that originate within your body. So basically, you might feel your heart beating or be aware of your heart beating. Maybe you're not aware of it, but you process it subconsciously anyways. You might be conscious of your breathing. And interestingly, we don't only perceive these things on ourselves, but it's been shown that we can also perceive these things on others. Breathing might be obvious, but apparently we can also process like micro expressions or maybe also color changes in human skin, so that we could potentially, if we watch a video of two people, guess whose heartbeat is visualized here. And you can try that, look at their faces, look at the heartbeat, and try and guess whose heartbeat this is. Any guesses? Who thinks it's his? Couple of timid hands. Who thinks it's hers? All right. I have to disappoint you all because I don't know. I keep trying to find out, but the paper doesn't actually explicitly tell me which person this is. Unless you know, Jens, please let me know. But they took away the color change, and they took away some of the micro expressions, and then the effect was gone. So basically, these two things seem to contribute to that. Our interoception also impacts our emotions, for example. It plays a role in our self-awareness, our self-consciousness. Also in our sense of empathy towards others, for example. And this doesn't only work with our real, actual interoceptive signals, but it also works on when we apply these artificially to users. And in this work, Aspel et al. Applied an outline to the video image of yourself from behind, kind of showing that this impacted your sense of where you were and your sense of embodiment as well. And I think basically we're getting more and more familiar with our own interoceptive signals, with our own artificially represented signals in particular. For example, with the smartwatches that many people nowadays wear. I don't know how many of you actually wear a smartwatch in here. There's always surprisingly few in the audience for these kinds of talks. But do you use the heart rate tracker? Do you look at stats or do you look at live data? Both? And basically, where I know these kinds of visualizations from is usually media, movies, but I think we're getting more and more familiar with it. It's coming more and more to our own wrists, to our own wearables, to our own devices. And we're also becoming more and more comfortable sharing these, I would say, very intimate signals with others. For example, in Twitch, where they stream their own games and they have a huge audience watching, there are plugins that you can use to actually augment your video stream with your own heartbeat, kind of showing how incredibly excited or scared you currently are, because you can show that your pulse is racing, right? So this is really becoming something more and more common, I would say. And we are already very, very familiar with adjusting or adapting or customizing what we look like. And basically, it's a small step from giving ourselves antlers to potentially just adding a heartbeat visualization, let's say in a Zoom call, just to show how happy or excited we are if we're celebrating a paper acceptance or something else. Now, who would be willing to try that out? How would you feel if you had a meeting and you would add your heartbeat? Is there anyone who thinks this would be really cool? How about awkward? So there seems to be something, yeah. Maybe we're not quite there yet. And we ran a survey, an online survey, and we asked people to imagine a scenario where they're interacting with a group. So we had augmented reality, we had physical reality, we had, this is the video meeting, basically Zoom, and virtual reality. And tell us how they would think they would feel about this. And we got fairly high anxiousness ratings and also fairly high responses in weirdness. But also, there was some intrigue there. There was a little bit of interest there. So there seems to be really something, especially about perceiving it about others, not so much wanting to share our own surprise. But so there seems to be something to it. And there's a little bit of difference across the different realities. So there may be a difference between whether we apply it to our physical reality, maybe kind of enhancing the interoceptive cues that we naturally have, or maybe manipulating them, kind of projecting the sense of complete calm, even though we're very excited. On the other hand, in virtual reality, we might want to actually compensate in an environment where we're lacking cues, because we don't have micro expressions, there's a little bit of limited animation to the avatars. We don't see when somebody's taking a breath to start speaking, but we could potentially augment this with interoceptive signals using different sensors. And so in our current project that we're talking about today, we're on this very far side of the spectrum of mixed reality, so really immersive virtual reality, and we want to give people a self-avatar representation, so an avatar that looks like themselves, that moves like themselves, and that's also augmented with their different heartbeat visualizations, mainly to explore if we want to add a visualization of heartbeat, how should we do that? It's a completely open question. There's been many different visualizations proposed, but we have no idea how they impact our understanding. It's like, oh yeah, right, that is a heartbeat. And maybe even, oh yeah, right, that's my heartbeat. And we don't know how they would actually impact our perception of it, like how much attention do we pay to it, or also how do we experience it? So how acceptable might this be if I know this visualization is applied to my avatar and others are seeing that? So this is really a very first step into exploring these questions. And the visualizations that we've implemented are based on prior work. So heart-shaped icons that are animated, for example, with blinking, is something that we've found quite a lot. Then, of course, we have the line visualization, which is something we know particularly from media. You might also know it from a heart monitor in the hospital, at least in movies. I have no idea if that's a real world thing. Then we also apply a color change to the skin, which is kind of inspired by how actually, apparently, our skin changes color through our heartbeats, even though we don't consciously perceive that. And something that I already tried out in an experimental prototype very many years ago. And then we're also recreating Aspel et al.'s outline around the avatar. And to achieve all this, basically the user is just wearing a Polar H10 heart rate sensor with a chest strap, really basically commercially available device. And then we have a custom Android app that requests all this data from the Polar H10. We've applied some tricks to make sure that we actually get this data as live as possible. And that data is then streamed to our server and from the server to the MetaQuest Pro using Colibri. Colibri is our library for research prototyping. Basically, we presented that last fall at ISMAR as a toolkit for supporting the rapid prototyping of different networking applications across realities. And basically, we try to, of course, we built this for our own research prototypes, but really we try to achieve low latency, high throughput, particularly for setups that are multi-platform. So we usually use Unity for some kind of immersive VR, AR scenarios, and web applications. And that's the whole idea. It should also be easy to set up and to use so that our students can use it as well. If you're interested, it's also out there, open source. But so basically through Colibri, this then goes from the server to the virtual reality application that runs on the MetaQuest Pro. This was built in Unity, and basically the result that comes out of that is this animated visualization on the avatar. And to look a bit more in detail on this processing pipeline, basically what you see in blue is the raw data from the polar sensor, that's the ECG data. And then we apply a bandpass filter, a couple of other filters to then actually do our peak detection in a moving window. And for these visualizations, super simple. We just, every time our peak, a heart beat, a peak is detected, we apply the full color and then we fade that out so that it's done fading out by the time the next heartbeat comes up. So this kind of visualization is applied for both the heart-shaped pulsing visualization, for the skin color change, and also for the outline. And then we have one exception for the line visualization, where basically the pipeline is even easier, because there we simply take the data we get out of the bandpass filter, which already looks very much like this line that we want to actually achieve. The second really important thing, as I mentioned before, is that we actually have a quite realistic customized avatar. The reason that we really want this is we want to achieve a high degree of embodiment, but we also, or that's at least very important to me, want to have an avatar that's not super realistic. We don't want it to be photorealistic, because we want to steer very clear from the uncanny valley. So I think this is a pretty good variant of that. And so researchers found that the sense of embodiment, for example, is increased if you can customize the avatar. If not just it looks like you, but you can make it look like you. And the cool thing is that the Meta Avatars SDK supports that, and it supports integrating it into our own application. So here you see Daniel starting out, adjusting an avatar to look like him, changing hair length, hair color. Then he goes on, changes the eyes, changes the eyebrows, changes the skin color. You can change facial hair. You can add facial markings, like freckles and things. You can add accessories, color your mouth, all kinds of different things. So it's extremely powerful. Again, it's a bit cartoony, but I think that's actually in this case a benefit. And so that's basically the way, or one way, we want to actually support embodiment. And the second one that's really important is that the avatars are fully articulated. And here again, the Meta Avatars SDK supports that really well. So the avatars are fully rigged. You can capture the user's hand movements. And if we use something like the MetaQuest Pro, you actually also have eye tracking and tracking of facial expressions. So the avatar really mimics your movements. So in our overall experiment design, we actually let every participant first customize their avatar. Then they go into VR, experience the virtual environment. And then we let them go through this study cycle for each one of these conditions. And so we basically have these four heartbeat visualization conditions plus one baseline condition where there's no visualization to explore really how well do they understand that it's a heartbeat, how well can they interpret the heartbeat. And we do that through, among other things, a heartbeat detection task. So in that task, we show them a heartbeat either at its actual pace as it's captured, or we slow it down, or we speed it up. And then you have to basically watch that heartbeat for 10 seconds, and then you're asked whether or not it's your own or whether or not it's someone else's. And you have to indicate your confidence in this response, so how confident you were. And I think we might find out that some of these visualizations are more effective in letting you recognize it as your own or less. And I think some might even be so effective in convincing you that it's your own that you might have more wrong responses quite confidently. And then the second research question is, of course, how these are experienced. In particular, I think it will be very interesting to find out something about acceptability, so how much they accept these visualizations. And I'm talking about, in basically future tense here all the time, I wish we could give you the answers already, but we cannot. So we are slightly delayed, but I'd like to just use this opportunity to have a shameless advertisement plug here. We are running our study next week, and we are looking for study participants. It will take 90 minutes to max 2 hours, hopefully. Of course, we'll compensate anyone for their participation. So if you know anyone who might be interested in trying out a VR experience, maybe want to get more in touch with their heartbeats, see how well they do, judging how fast their heart is beating. There's one caveat for everyone present. I think you note too much, so you are unfortunately excluded, but thanks for attending the talk. all right, so to give you just the overview of how this fits into the overall project, with our current study, basically we're exploring for individual users how we can design these signaling methods and how they are, how they affect us, how they impact us. Right now, we're trying out the visual modality. We are also planning to work with the auditive modality and really kind of learn really how to do this in the first place, right? From this, we go on to exploring visualizations in first dyads and then hopefully a larger collective of people. And then we can go into actually studying in how far this affects our synchronization and in how far we might be able to actually manipulate heartbeat visualizations to achieve synchronization, even though there might not be one and so on. This is actually already happening in parallel on the cognitive psychologist side of our project. So Albert, I think, has just concluded a study. I don't know if anyone here participated in that one in particular. I think there was also a bit of a weirdness and awkwardness factor here because people were actually seated opposite each other and had to stare into each other's eyes and feel each other's heartbeat either on their actual skin or by holding a transducer that provided vibrations for every heartbeat. So also there, I think results are currently being analyzed, and I'm really looking forward to learning about those myself and then presenting those to you at the next opportunity. And then going on from dyads, human dyads and collectives, the future vision of this project would be to actually then go and explore synchronization and empathy across species. And the tools that we're developing will support that. Basically, for example, you could feel the heartbeat of a fish by holding a transducer in your hand, or maybe see a virtual augmentation of a heartbeat on some kind of different animal. Right. I was way faster than expected. But this is really basically the teaser for what's to come. And I'm very happy to discuss further questions that you might have or collect your feedback on all of these things. And otherwise, really looking forward to showing you results once we have them. That's all.
Hey, thanks. So you mentioned that there could be some wrong responses, for example, when they don't know, they cannot assess their own heart rate. Mm-hmm. Do you have some expectations on whether this could change their heart rate? So like they think, oh, my heart rate is this one. So then the heart rate is actually would actually change to this.
So in the study that we're running, they're not actually going to get a response whether their guess was correct or not. They won't know. But what I do expect, and they're only seeing their heartbeat for 10 seconds. What I would expect, and that's also my feeling when I tried out, is that if I watch a blinking, depending on the visualization, I think it actually impacts my own heart rate. So if it's slower, I think I actually start relaxing a bit more. This is very subjective right now and really speculation, but I would expect that the 10 seconds are too short to affect it. But if we did this for a longer time, it might actually really have an impact. And that's also something that we're exploring in a couple of student projects, whether we can apply this, for example, to aid people in relaxing. And there has been prior work doing that. I'm not sure whether it was in VR. Don't know it by heart right now. But is this the, was this your question?
Basically? Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I was also wondering, except the blinking, what are some other behavioral cues you are trying to manipulate or control in terms of their behavior?
Say that again, sorry.
What are some other behavioral cues except blinking, like the frequency of blinking, mm-hmm. that you're trying to manipulate or control? That, what do you think that may contribute to the judgment of the...
For individual users?
Basically, they have to perceive avatar, right?
Yeah.
They have to perceive their behavioral, mm-hmm. such as like blinking, mm-hmm. or something, whatever the behavioral is, and then try to judge whether it's their own heartbeat or not.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, what are some manipulation control in terms of the behavior cues that you're trying to do here?
That's a good question. I mean, so right now we, apparently micro expressions of the face do help in perceiving other people's heartbeat. We don't have many micro-expressions here. We do have some facial expressions, but those are really, I would say, still poorly tracked. Nevertheless, I think maybe something like blinking frequency might impact it. That's actually a good point. We may actually be introducing some kind of confound here beyond the heartbeat visualization, but as we're using the same avatar on all, I hope that will be limited. But if we had a completely static avatar that you know, we could probably control for this better. Just that we intentionally don't want to do this because we want to give people the impression that this is them, right? Like, we really want them to feel like this is their own.
I guess I'm just wondering, I'm just curious because when we are trying to perceive like a behavior, especially if we want to make a judgment, like whether it's like their own heartbeat or not, mm-hmm. make this such a distinguishment, we may sample many different type of cues, and these type of cues may not weigh equally. For example, you may see like blinking as more mm-hmm. like important cues mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. versus if I just randomly shake my head or mm-hmm. When you judge their bait.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in this case, because it's not social behavior, we don't have social interactions. We really limit how much they do.
Would you say it's not social? Because essentially they're perceiving each other.
No, themselves. This is one person looking into a mirror.
Ah, okay.
It's a virtual mirror. So it's really a single user. You're looking at yourself. And that was unclear, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and they try to estimate, right, is it their own feel? Is it their own heartbeat or not? Which is also something that, you know, we don't actually do much in everyday life. Maybe if you do yoga, you might actually get used to this. And this is actually something that in my PhD, I did a lot of body ownership illusion studies. And I found that, for example, people who are very aware of their bodies were not susceptible to the illusion. And I wonder if we'll find something a little bit similar here, that if you're practiced in this, that we can't actually trick you as easily. But I was wondering, like, basically, how used are you to, like, because I want to try out different modalities, and right now we're going for the visual one because a lot of what we do in augmentations is visual. But for me, heartbeats are usually something very auditive. But I think hearing a heartbeat makes me nervous. I don't know, does anyone share that feeling? Or there's just to me something, maybe because of horror movies, it goes faster and faster and faster. I don't know, it's very uncomfortable. And I hope that we can counter that here. And the second thing that I'm not sure about is also the color. So right now we're going for red most of the time because in the survey that we ran, we asked for associations and red obviously came up. But then the outline visualization, that's actually yellow, mainly because Aspel makes it yellow. But why, right? They don't actually give a reason. And I think it might be interesting to at some point explore different types of colors that do or don't coincide with our expectation of what a heartbeat might be. And just to speculate very roughly, I think having the this skin color change visualization, I think might feel very uncomfortable in a social situation. And I wonder what would happen if we would change the color of that, though. If it wasn't skin flashing red, but if it was, I don't know, some kind of aura or something turning your hair blue from the roots to the tips or something like that.
Thanks, Tina.
Yes, sure.
Nice talk. Also, want to put the focus on eyes. So do you see any potential in visualizing the heartbeat with the eyes itself? The eyes, we are looking to it very often when we talk to each other, and there's always movement like blinking or to the side or something like that. Do you see the potential when you, for example, use the diameter of the iris of pulsating a bit to visualize very decent heartbeat?
In virtual reality?
In virtual reality. In your avatar.
Yeah, intriguing idea. I think we're very attuned to eyes, and I think if your eyes started blinking, you would be extremely weirded out.
Yeah, not the blinking,
but yeah,
the diameter.
The pupil?
The iris.
Dilation or
that colorful thing,
yeah,
in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Or the pupil, something like that.
The iris, yeah. But like, what, don't you think that would look strange if that was?
I would think not.
Yeah.
I think it would be more natural than mm-hmm. having a yellow frame around you, or not that, yeah, invasive. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to try it out. But what would it communicate to you? Would it mean if someone looks at you calmly, trying to project calm, and it would go boop, 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 would that have this impression on you that they're calm? Or do you think the movement would make you, I guess it would make you pay more attention,
mm-hmm.
potentially, to their eyes?
I could imagine it works very, could
yeah.
work pretty well.
Yeah.
I would, in my imagination, I have it in my head as not very weird.
Yeah.
But we should try it before we put that.
No, absolutely.
Direction.
Yeah. I think it has one intriguing factor, which is that it's kind of subtle enough that you would only see it once you get close. Right? Like the outline, that's something that broadcasts to everyone. And you would even see them in a crowd blinking fast if they're nervous. So I think once we go into these real large scale multi user scenarios, that might be something that we need to then consider. And the other question is like, basically that heart, you might be able to cover up with your hand, but blinking of your skin or an outline, you cannot, right? So when are you actually in control of what you're visualizing, what you're sending out? And there, I guess we get into all of this like acceptability on a larger scale. If it's a physical augmentation of my body, like just attaching, strapping a display to my arm, I can easily put my hand on it, or I might just, you know, hit the off switch to make it stop. But in VR, that whole question comes up again. And we've had a couple of people actually responding in the, when we asked them, you know, what do you think about strapping a display to your body? And that was more comfortable because they could just get rid of it. And they were aware of it themselves. Like they could look down and say, oh yeah, it's blinking. I see it. Or on their arm.
Yeah, one problem maybe with revealing the actual raw data from the heartbeat is that it also reveals a lot of information about your overall fitness. And if you're in a bigger, let's say, professional meeting, maybe you don't want people to know that you're super fit or not so fit. So what if you just display this as a relative metric, something normalized between what the system has learned about your resting heart rate and your max heart rate, and then calculating just a score of kind of stress or kind of excitement based on this, then
yeah.
This could be more informative and people may feel more comfortable with this because this reveals less information about their general health state.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I agree. And I mean, you're referring to the line one, right? I guess.
To which one?
The line or any of them.
Line?
The line visualization. Do you
no,
mean
I,
that
I,
one?
I, or I was just, so.
Just generally.
Once I had
pushing.
A running watch,
yeah.
It always displayed stress.
Yeah.
And the stress was some color.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it computed this based on my max and resting heart rate, where I was in between, because this is different for every individual.
Yeah.
Some people are doing heavy sports and the heart rate doesn't go up. Some people do walk up the stairs and the heart rate goes up to 180. Which is different for everyone. And now if I see someone there with 180, wow, that person must be super excited.
Yeah.
But maybe actually not. It's the normal state.
Yeah. I think it would definitely, should in the end be adjusted, calibrated to the user. And then I guess one nice thing would be if you could customize it. What would you want it to look like when you're excited or when you're calm? The other thing that's just now dropped from my mind. Wait, okay, customize. Oh yeah, the other thing. What if, let's say I know I have to go to an interview and I know I'm going to be, you know, pretty nervous probably, I could apply a filter, calmness filter, calm down the visualization, why not? It's always a question of how honest should we be, or you know, could we be? Maybe the other person could see that I've manipulated it in some way, but they don't know how. And I think we already do that in Zoom. I can touch up the camera feed, right? So in a sense, I think that there might be some potential for that. In particular, because it influences how we feel ourselves. So if somebody is afraid of speaking in public and they know they're exuding calm because their heartbeat is like super relaxed, then they might probably relax themselves as well. But it's, a good question. And the sensitivity of the data, of course, we're aware of, and is, I think, one of the reasons why there's such high anxiety levels about the whole thing. Yeah, we'll have to deal with that. Jens had a question as well, and then...
Yeah, fascinating stuff, Tiara. Interesting to discuss. I had one reply to the comment here. I think with the heart rate, you always have a combination of your general state of fitness, but also your current level of arousal or excitement, right? So it's difficult to disentangle the two if you're not at baseline. If you're in a meeting and you get very excited about the meeting's content, be it that you're stressed or nervous, or that the content and the topic is important to you, you will get a very high heart rate. So it will tell something about your current state, but not so much about your general state of fitness unless you're at baseline in a relaxed environment. So that might be difficult to disentangle. The other comment I have, and I'm not sure if that leads to a question, but I think it's an interesting one to also bring into the discussion, is that we know from our studies on physiological synchronization that this seems to be a very robust phenomenon in real life. So in reality, if we are engaging with each other, there seems to be this synchronization process going on. What is funny, however, is that we are not quite sure about how, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the mechanism by which this is actually unfolding?
Mm-hmm.
And the different researchers and theorists that you read, they all agree that it probably has something to do with the vagus nerve, which something that we are not entirely conscious on, right? So it's pre-conscious or unconscious process that we are perceiving something about the other person that allows us to eventually synchronize our physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes movement, that includes behavior, that includes heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is unconscious or pre-conscious, then what you are doing puts it away from the vagus nerve because you're making it very conscious, right? It's in your face.
Mm-hmm.
You do see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess from the various theoretical ideas about what brings about synchronization, the skin color change or the eye movement are actually the ones that are discussed as perhaps being mechanisms that you're not really aware of, but that you're still perceiving and responding to engage the synchronization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess the question could be, would you compare the different mechanisms to see which one is closest to real life to perhaps somehow get at the mechanism that is in place in reality to allow us to physiologically synchronize.
I mean, closest to real life, what does that even mean, right? I think here we're really abstracting away a lot. And if we change the skin color, it, as you say, it's in your face, right? But if we do get an effect with that, then that might suggest that, okay, this is a way to actually simulate something that happens in real life, but maybe in a less extreme way.
But if the method in reality is through skin color or through eye movement, so subtle, but still effective in allowing us to physiologically synchronize because we are tuned to it over many generations of having to socially engage with each other, then anything that goes in that direction should probably tap into the same mechanism.
Exactly. And if we don't find it, then either we've done it wrong or it's just not that, right? And I think in a way that's the hope that we can figure out, because like back to the question, like whether or not we would wanna, you know, provide this fitness related data and so on and so forth, or whether or not we seem more engaged in a meeting because people can actually tell by interpreting, in that case, I guess our heart rate. This is stuff that's happening in the real world. So these are signals that we are apparently sharing in the real world. So I think in a sense, we're not doing much more than recreating reality in just, in this case, a more exaggerated way for now. Once we see that it works, or if it works, we can of course dial it down to levels that may then again be subconscious. I think why not? At the present, we're, I think, struggling so much with also the type of visualizations that are possible, the rendering fidelity, the lighting conditions in VR, how we recreate them, that if we don't make it like exaggerated in this way, we're not entirely sure what's happening. This experimental prototype that I tried out, I think in 2017, I had this issue that you would perceive this very clearly as blinking. But I had participants that said, yeah, I don't know, the lighting was weird. I've had this flickering in my HMD, and it was a really old-fashioned head-mounted display at that time, so I really couldn't blame them. I think we're in a better place right now with that, but I think for now we really have to exaggerate to figure out and make sure that it is what we're manipulating and not so much just an artifact of the technology that we're using.
So maybe this is also a weird or hard question, but I was intrigued by the by your survey in the beginning, where you asked people whether it caused them anxiety or weirdness. And I was wondering, what is the emotional difference between the two, and which would you expect would be easier to overcome with, I don't know, the right display or a customization to like, anxiousness is sort of clear, but weirdness, what emotion does it go with, or like?
That's a very good question. This is a standardized questionnaire. I don't know, Jens, do you have any idea about that?
What's the name?
That's a very excellent question. This was the one Albert dug up. No clue. We would have to look it up. I think anxiety is a little bit more deep-seated. Like weirdness, something can be weird, and you just think, okay, it's uncanny, it's not real. But it, for me personally, it's just not as negative. Yeah, yeah. For me, anxiety, like weirdness for me doesn't have to, this for me has to do with the intimacy of the signal and how much I'm revealing about myself. And weirdness could be, it's just not like in the real world, but not necessarily has this connotation.
Yeah, it appears as if weirdness would be perhaps easier to overcome with like getting familiar, or like increased familiarization with the method or with the avatar or whatever. But anxiety, it sounds, it's more internal, it's more like...
Even there, I'm really surprised when my mom got her smartwatch. In the beginning, it was very much known as my heartbeat. And now she's like going for like, look, showing everyone, anyone who crosses our path, that her heart rate's not high because she's so fit. So I think also that if we get accustomed to it and everyone does it, I think we'll get very, very used to that. But we won't find out until we actually try. But it's a good question. And also with these scales, I'm not entirely sure anymore whether these responses are towards whether you want to see it on yourself or whether you want to see it on others. I think it was the others question, because there the interest was really on a whole range where they felt like, oh no, it's their business. Don't want to see it. Or yeah, absolutely. I want to see how others are, you know, currently doing.
It probably depends on the context. If you're in a I don't know, dating situation might be different than when you're in an interview situation, for example.
And we actually asked for different scenarios, professional, personal, small groups, large groups, strangers. And it will make a huge difference. But actually, a couple of days after we concluded that, Binya sent me a picture. She was out at a bar and they were wearing these buttons that you could stick on your shirt. And they were flashing a heartbeat animation, not their own. It was just a flashing, but still, it was really funny that she found that out there in the real world. And I think, if I remember correctly, she went to that bar and singles could put that on their shirts so they could recognize each other, which, you know. Yeah, I think you had a question.
More of a comment that it would be interesting to ask these questions as well than in the experiment. Are you planning to do that? Is there anything else you're assessing about their emotions?
Yeah, let me maybe just jump to that slide. So we have a questionnaire. We want to keep it, so overall study duration is already beyond, you know. So, but there is an interview at the end and we do have a questionnaire with a couple of items that we're going to ask them. And basically beyond them actually having like reflecting on the heartbeat themselves again, whether it was live, whether it was their own and so on. We are asking about whether they would be comfortable seeing this in a social situation, either with their family or professionally. And then also in like a public speaking scenario, just to kind of reflect on that as well. But there's always, I think, this really big difference between having people imagine it or actually trying it out. So we're going to treat this with a lot of care, whatever we get back here, because I think as soon as we put them in this, that will be like basically the next study, as soon as we're done with this one, if we put them in the social situation where they see each other's heartbeat and can communicate about that, I think it will change a lot about how they think they would perceive it. But yeah, do you have any ideas for items or additional questions that we should ask or reflect on? Let's say we find 5 more minutes to ask them stuff.
I mean, maybe some just how they're feeling about the experiment in general.
Yeah.
Do that in the end.
Yeah.
That's the questionnaire that's after each visualization. So to differentiate between the visualizations. And we have an interview where we exactly ask, how did you feel? Which one was the most intuitive? Which one do you want to add something to these questions you answered?
Great. Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah,
thanks.
We'll be held to analyze, but yeah.
And maybe this also goes to Jens. As a bigger picture question. So heartbeat synchronization and physiological synchronization, has this been shown to really, if you have a one-on-one business meeting and discussing some important things, does this actually has an impact on the outcome? asking further, I mean, if you're moving kind of meetings more and more into the virtual world, then having a heartbeat visualization from one to the other could actually have a major impact on the success of companies selling and discussing things. Now that's, you know,
it would be fun in a poker game, right, where everyone shows their heartbeat, and the better you are at controlling yourself,
So I'm not sure about business success or meetings, but there has been a position paper by two of the leading psychotherapists in Europe, Schacher and Kohle, Wolfgang Schacher from Vienna and Sander Kohle from the Netherlands, who published in 2018 the idea that the success of the psychotherapy depends on the psychotherapeutic alliance, and that depends on the synchronization between the therapist and the patient. And they included the movement, the behavior, and the physiological synchronization, adding the interbrain coupling as the essential elements for the success. So I guess that goes to that.
And I think I remember an interesting dating project, right? No?
The speed dating study, yeah. Well, yes, which we are still to publish, but the outcome from that was that the probability to exchange your phone numbers depended on the degree of the physiological synchronization between the participants. So there's another success.
And I think, like, let's say you're not synchronizing well, but you can artificially influence that, potentially. You might enforce successes where there aren't any. I don't know if that's ethical or a good idea, but it would be interesting to see if we can actually manipulate these things that happen naturally.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you so much. This was very intriguing and fascinating, and thanks so much for the great discussion. Yeah.
Treat it as a teaser, there's definitely more to come, I promise.
Much
yeah,
forward.
Me too.
Thanks so much.